This isn't really a sermon. As I said about half an hour ago, I've been thinking a lot about bringing a child into the world at this moment of challenge. As the Chinese curse goes, may you live in interesting times. And I fear that we do live in interesting times. So I look to this week's parasha for the gifts and the blessings, just as Jacob blesses his descendants. What blessing I would wish for this unborn and unnamed child, my own children, your children, and if I may be so bold, you as a form of my children, people that I care about and worry about and think about the future. So I'll offer you just a series of blessings that I found in this week's parasha without much discourse on them, I don't think. But hopefully it will carry us through the next weeks, months, and years, which will be different, at the very least, and uncertain, likely. So the Zohar notes, as I noted, that Jacob gathers to bless Joseph and to reveal to Joseph and sons the end of days and else. Zohar, the book of Jewish mysticism of the medieval period, says that notes that what begins as a blessing to Yosef, this is actually in the reading we read, ends as a blessing to Menashe and Ephraim, Joseph's sons, which the Zohar points out very sweetly. One has no greater blessing than that one's children be blessed. You know, there's an Italian village aphorism that you should never educate your children beyond yourself. But I don't think any Jew would ever say that. That we all wish, and I imagine most Italians truly wish, that their children be greater than they, have greater material prosperity, greater moral successes, a better marriage, a better life. Our parents wished that for us, whether they were immigrants arriving here to give us a better life or locals who watched the advance of progress, both material and spiritual and moral, and bequeathed those values to us that we might grow. Children, loved ones in general, come with their own gifts and challenges. And Zvi Yecheskel Mikkelsen, who was a 19th century rabbi in more or less Poland, of course, Poland's borders changed here and there, notes that Jacob has a lot of sons. I guess this is parts really for me. And from children, if you have a lot of sons, you have more troubles. The more children you have, the more troubles. So someone said to me at the gym, wow, you're brave. And they found out I was having a fourth son. Brave or stupid, not so clear. But it points out that Jacob's life is filled with events. It's a busy life. It's a life not ordinary. He lives in exciting times. There's the trouble with Simon and Levi and Shechem. There's Joseph's trouble. There's Dinah's trouble. There's Benjamin's troubles. There is nothing that makes a parent or a loved one more worried than that the beloved suffer. Nothing that makes a parent worry more than that one's children are ailing or in trouble at school or getting troubles in the world. And nothing that makes anyone suffer as much as the sufferings of loved ones. But the converse is also true, that being in the bosom of family, whether it's your natural born family or this family, is the richest and most challenging time one can have. As Andrew Solomon says in his book, Far From the Tree, family creates the greatest wounds and also salves them most deeply. So we see Jacob finishing out his life with 17 years in Egypt, seeing his sons again, seeing Joseph and Benjamin together, seeing grandchildren and more grandchildren, because eventually they would be 70. There were 70 members, we're told, of the household, or at least 66 by certain countings. The household has grown, and Jacob gets to live out his best years with all of them. And we're told in Midrash and elsewhere that those 17 years were the best years of his life, years of prosperity, goodness, and peace. His other 130 years were filled with toil and pain. In fact, he makes a speech that reminds me of the opening of Annie Hall, where Woody Allen says, This place, the food is terrible and the portions are too small. And Jacob says something like that, my life is terrible and too short. So he's a grumpy person until he gets to his family. But I think we know at some level, I'm not unfortunately speaking to those who were abused in their youth or who dealt with familial addiction or trauma, but at some point in our lives, the families that we create, again, whether they're biological or our network of friends or our congregation or our workplace or our soccer team or beekeepers, the network of beekeepers George told me about yesterday, they are the most generous and most fulfilling moments we know. That being in front of a computer screen or being out running or struggling with life are not as rewarding as letting small children crawl on top of you. So to my children and to all of you, I think about these blessings. One of the places in chapter 49, Jacob refers to himself as Avir Yaakov. And Avir is a weird word. It may mean a knight or a royal person. There's also the phrase Avir Lev, which means courageous or stout-hearted. And so I wish to this boy who is coming for me and to all of you in this future time, be courageous. Chazak ve'ametz, as Joshua charges the people. And find your clarity. Find your identity. Don't let it be lost in the potential maelstrom that may be ahead of us. We don't know. We are at a time of uncertainty, and that is easily a time to lose one's identity. When Jacob blesses his children, among the things he says to Ephraim and Manasseh is, let my parents' name be called upon you. Let you be known through your inheritance of Israel and Isaac. So one of the rare times that you don't have Israel, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm sorry. You just have Abraham and Isaac because, of course, Jacob is speaking about his ancestors. And what our sages teaches us is what he's indicating to them is let them have Jewish names. Let them know their heritage. Let them be clear and strong in their identity. Let who they are be carried with them even in a foreign land, even in the exile to come, even in the centuries of slavery and the decades in the wilderness. Before they arrive back, before their great-great-great-great-grandchildren arrive back in the land, let them know who they are and not assimilate, not lose their faith and strength of character amid other people. Let them love each other. Let us love each other in the time to come. In chapter 49, it refers to Shimon and Levi as brothers. Now it's about to say something bad about them, but let's drop that. And I told you a few weeks ago that Shimon and Levi are known as Dinah's brothers. Not that she didn't have other brothers, but because they defended her in Shechem. Let us be brethren to each other, care for each other, work for each other's benefit, work for the safety of the lost, the last, and the least. As another preacher said on Wednesday, the lost, the last, and the least. And be bound together in the bonds of brotherhood. Let us not be filled with sinat chinam, causeless hatred for those we don't know. And, you know, you can't hate anyone as much as someone you do know. So let us love our brothers in the human family and our cousins literally and our brothers and sisters literally and our children and our parents. Let us learn to love because God only loves flawed beings. And let us accept each other's flaws. So Jacob says, one of the last commands he gives to Joseph and Joseph's brothers is, bury me back where my fathers were. So Joseph gets leave of the Pharaoh and goes to bury Jacob back in the cave by Hebron. And it's an interesting question. Why, you know, it seems an obvious request. It's probably in people's wills even to this day how they want to be buried. But our sages suggest that this would be a moment of reconciliation. And I've actually seen that. I've seen that at my mother's mother's funeral. And we hear about it at other funerals, that when you go, there's a moment, there's a time of reconciliation, often to the deceased person if they were a challenging presence in one's life. But maybe you haven't seen your brother or spoken to him in 7 years. And you see each other at the funeral and the ice starts to melt. Maybe not forever, maybe not completely, But there is a softening that can happen at those times. So let us be soft and tender with each other. Let us not nurse grievances or be silent or estranged if we need not be. Let us find solidarity in a time of challenge. Let my son and my sons, they may fight as they may, as they will, and God forbid they may even become estranged at moments, but let them join together. Let them know each other with love, ultimately. Let us all know each other with love despite our disagreements. I mean, that's a great lesson of a synagogue is, boy, you can have fights in here, you know? You can have fights at board meetings. You can have disagreements. You can have people with whom you have differences of opinion. You can have people even who you can't stand, but you sit near them in the pews. You sit near them at a board meeting. You come to parties with them, and as irritating or agitating as it may be to see them, you share the life with them. And that's a kind of reconciliation as well. And I want to offer two more blessings, both to that son, unnamed and unborn, to my children who are here, to their descendants, to your loved ones, to you all as my loved ones, loved ones of each other. The future should be better than the past. And the present, uncertain and fearful and sometimes sad as it seems, should only be a prelude to a brighter future. So Yehuda, we didn't get to read, I was surprised at the way the triennial readings were divided. We don't get to read those great blessings that Jacob gives all his sons. And as I said to the preschool under my breath, they're not all blessings. Some of them aren't very nice at all. But Yehuda will be the ancestor of the Davidic dynasty, so his blessing is quite strong. And he's described as a lion cub who never rests. And so Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi, I'd call him Kimchi, describes what it is to be a lion at wait. And a lion is sort of always on guard. Now, this is not true. Lions sleep half the day, certainly the male, for what that's worth. But he is on guard. He's ready to rouse himself at a moment's notice. And when there's not imminent danger, when he knows he is secure, he rests. And so Radak says, like that, so may be Judah's descendants, David and Solomon. That David lived in a time of war, a time of conquest, a time of internecine strife with Absalom and others. And he bequeathed to his son a Pax Judea. There's no actual word for it. We call Pax Romana the era in the Roman history when there was no war, but we don't have a word for Solomon's rule, which was more or less pacific. Pax Judea, let's call it that. And so may our children know a better era than we know. As I said a little earlier, in my lifetime, I've only seen progress towards reconciliation among races and creeds and ethnicities and nations. But the steady upward progress of history is somewhat illusory. And at the very least, maybe it's like this, maybe like the stock market where it generally trends up but has dips. But Midrash says that the Holy Blessed One set a limit to the sufferings of the righteous. May that be true for us. And as Rabbi Wilhelm said in a different setting, actually it was Day of Learning at the JCC, whatever your feelings are on the political situation, ultimately things are in God's hand. And another aspect I bequeath to you, I wish for you, I wish for us all, I wish for my sons born and not yet, that we strengthen our faith, that we recognize God's ultimate authority, and we strive to model and manifest God in this world. You know, the brothers are very afraid, once Jacob's dead, that Joseph will take his revenge for all they've done. And Joseph says, no, this all worked out just fine, just like Esau would say to Jacob. This all worked out fine, don't worry. Am I a substitute for God? Somewhere in all of this, sometimes obscured, sometimes hard to see, is God. And we have to strive to bring God and God's goodness to the world and to trust that God's goodness will prevail. Not always easy to see. And I'll leave you with the blessing we talked about in Parsha and parenting this morning, the blessing that Jacob gives to Ephraim and Manasseh. Hamalach hagoeloti yivarech et ha'ne'arim. There was an angel, there was a holy messenger that has guarded me, that has kept me, and may it bless my children. May it bless all children. It doesn't say my children, actually. May it bless the youth. So, whether you are still young at heart or physically young or both, may it bless you. May we all find courage and comedy with a T. Comedy and protection and faith in the coming week, weeks, months, and years. Ken Yiratzon. Amen.